This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
Too often we are distracted and worn out by the activities of our lives. Yet our Lord says, "Do not let your heart be troubled." And Dr. Wyatt shares that he goes to prepare a place for us.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading is from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. And this is a special message, one of assurance. So do stay tuned.
Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you will know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me, for the sake of the works themselves.
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. What our Lord is saying in these verses Sharon has just read can be encumbered and confused with popular images, those often in our own mind, and those found in medieval paintings, for example. When we need to hear instead what our Lord is really saying. We desire here to always be faithful to Scripture, avoiding the misunderstandings that often come with symbolic language. For example, the many unrealistic and confusing interpretations of John's apocalypse, all because of this failure to appreciate biblical symbolism. Such language is quite common in our Bible and is used to depict and to inform when human language is clearly inadequate or even inappropriate. Word pictures, ancient symbols are then used that have deeper, even broader meaning. This has always been the case when depicting heaven, or for that matter, hell as well. Our thoughts begin here with Jesus' efforts to reassure his disciples of just such. The disciples are in deep anguish, for he has just finished telling them he must leave. Also, that one of their number will betray him. They are confused, distraught. How can they handle any more? Jesus must enable them to trust in him and each other for the next couple of days until he who is the truth, the way, the life, will in all his dazzling revelation awaken in them all that has been said and what all this means. How could Jesus do other than what he now does? His preparatory work of his coming suffering and torment, of their failure, even of the resurrection, has simply not been understood. So in firm, strong, but gentle words, Jesus says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me." This is what they need, for if Peter is told that he will deny the Lord, Peter, who is the strongest, most robust, and assertive, then what would the rest of them do? He is leaving, but they have left everything for him. So what will become of them? All this, and yet the next few hours, in less than a day, even more will crash in upon them. So Jesus provides words of reassurance and comfort, words that are timeless and meaningful for us as well. First, don't be tormented, troubled, or confused and confounded. You believe in God, believe in Jesus. There is seldom anything more important that should be conveyed nor embraced by believers than these two things. Don't worry, believe. Or don't fret, trust. We all will have a tendency to look about us, see corruption, escalating violence and immorality, then the myriad of difficulties around the world, not to mention the things that affect us personally, the rising cost of food and gasoline, our family problems, perhaps even our health, and we have a tendency with all of this to lean toward despair. This is when we need to embrace the words, "Let not your hearts be troubled." It may seem at times only a platitude, just words. How can one, when we are so inundated with so much negativity, so many problems, so much darkness? But remember the next phrase. You believe in God? Believe in me. There is far more here than just believing and trusting. It is knowing our God and knowing, really knowing, who Jesus is. What Jesus is saying is that when one believes in God, in his existence, when one comes to know who he really is, it is to change our perspective, our understanding of our life, our world, our purpose here, and our destiny. It is all entailed inescapably in our understanding of Jesus. Throughout his ministry, his teaching, signs and wonders, his abiding with his disciples, he has been endeavoring to show them who he is and who is the Father. This is really what John's gospel is all about, that in Jesus we can see the Father. In Jesus is the way to the Father. To know Jesus is to know the Father. That they, in a great trial about to unfold about them, that will engulf them, when they run in panic this very night, when all will seem lost, when there seems to be no hope, you believe in God, believe in me. This is just as valid for us in our moments of crisis as theirs. It always comes down to believing, trusting in him. Understand that what the testimony of Scripture relates, what we find written there, is what we too can believe and trust in. That to believe in the one true God is to see his grace and mercy, his omnipotent power, his omniscient presence, and his sovereignty. It is he who is in charge. It is he who knows who and what we are, in all truth, without any masks or pretenses on our part. It is he who understands us and still will undertake for us in every situation. We are never forsaken, left alone, or forgotten. To believe in this God is to be above the confusion, the distress of our world, on the high ground with him, despite all that threatens, above all that we find that does confound this world. We are to know who is in charge, who really rules, who will bring all the confusion and disarray to fulfill his purpose. So why should we be troubled? For do we not know that because we know Jesus, that through him we can come before the very throne of the Father? Because of Jesus we can see and know the Father. Do we realize how dramatic, how unique, how earth-shattering is this revelation of the Father in Jesus? Never before was it ever considered that one could really know God and relate to him, understand his care, concern, and passion for us, his sheep. David's psalm of the Lord as my shepherd is but an initial inkling, a momentary glimpse. But in Jesus, when these few days have passed, oh, what a revelatory glory these few will behold! The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, He who suffers in our stead that we might have eternal life, He who binds our ancient enemy, that old serpent Lucifer, He who will cast from the presence of God our old accuser, He who mounts to the throne of God to sit at the Father's right hand, who rose bodily from the cold tomb and opened up to us the reality of what the Father has purposed for we who believe. This communion between Father and Son, the fellowship, the relationship, the union is beyond our ability to fully understand. But John, in his unique way, is bringing it to life for us. Thomas wants to know the way, for he honestly doesn't know. Philip wants to be shown the Father. In truth, he desires to have a grand Old Testament revelation, a theophany. And he says, if we experience that, it will be enough. But they do not realize it is Jesus who is the way, truth, and life. It is in Him we see the Father. In Him dwells the Father, and in Him is the works of the Father. And it is He that shatters all doubts. It is then, only then, we can grasp what Jesus now says and what He adds to those well-known words of David. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is this not what Jesus has said? Be not troubled. Fear not, for I am with you. That in Him are the words of eternal life, and the resurrection and the life. So when He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Of course, the early translation's use of this word mansion does mislead a bit as it echoes the Latin translation. But the Greek actually means a dwelling, an apartment, a place to rest. Not that mansions in some sense is incorrect, but it brings the wrong image to mind. Jesus is not talking about a grand estate in, say, Beverly Hills, but is using a picture that the disciples would all understand. The Father's house was always viewed by the Hebrews as the temple. It was here that heaven touched the earth. Here was envisioned that all that was the temple is a symbolic presentation of the very dwelling place of God. And here Jesus will declare that as in the temple there are many dwelling places, so too in the Father's house are many, indeed far more dwelling places, and that He is going to prepare a place for them personally, so that there will be room for all. There are attempts to address these words as an expression of spiritual growth, that it is a call for some kind of development. This may be intriguing, but nowhere in Scripture do we find such an idea. What we do find, from the promise to Abraham to the Psalms of David, right through the prophets, is the biblical idea of great bliss, of blessedness and permanence in the presence of the Lord. Really, there can be no doubt what Jesus is alluding to. For as He says, "For if I go, I will come again and take you to myself, that you may be where I am." They do try to make all of this so spiritual. But all of that really misses the point. This is clearly a reference to our Lord's second coming, and surely He knew that all these would suffer, most die for their testimony of Him. So it also has that enduring, haunting reality that He comes for us all at that appointed time, all that we too might always be with Him, that for us a place has been prepared. Here we are to abide with Him, a place of peace and joy which awaits that moment of resurrection of all things. Never forget, for Scripture does not imagine us in eternity as some sprites, wisp, as some ghostly disembodied existence. No, we are to be like Him, raised and changed, so that who we are, or at least who we will be, when that last vestige of carnality and corruption are removed, we are to put on incorruption. All of mankind longs for this, even if they cannot give words to it. We can see it in the utopian desires of some governments to provide for a heaven right here on earth, of general care from cradle to grave. We see it in the twisted desires of Marxism, which only results in human corruption and the death of millions in the old Soviet Union or in the decaying streets of Havana. We see it in every utopian community ever created by some so-called benevolent guidance of some self-proclaimed prophet. But all you need to do is wait, and in time you will find only a ghost town or the horrors of Jonestown. These hopes and desires found in every culture, whether sophisticated New York or some primitive and ancient people in the jungle, only reveals an undying and deep longing for the rebirth of Eden. But we need to take care that we not become lost in these longings, and as the saying goes, we get so heavenly that we are no earthly good. We must guard our thinking from becoming too otherworldly. We need to be grounded, because life has its lumps and bruises. Trials are a part of life here on earth. But as in the sublime words of C.S. Lewis, our souls have a curious shape, because we are a hollow, made to fit a particular swelling in the infinite contours of the divine, a key to unlock one of the doors in the house with many mansions. For it is not humanity in the abstract that is to be saved, but you. All that you are, sins apart, is destined if you will let God have his good way. Your place in heaven will seem made for you, and you alone, because you were made for it. And as we know, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in our Lord Jesus. He is the very way, truth, and life. He has made the way because he is the very truth of what God has destined for us. He is the truth that reveals all that is God. He is the life, the only life worthy of the name, a life of purpose, of destiny, of life eternal. As Lewis has said, all our lives, an unattainable ecstasy has hovered just beyond the grasp of our consciousness. But the day is coming when we will awake to find beyond all hopes that we have attained it, or else that it was within our reach and we have lost it forever. Forget gold streets, pearly gates. This only tries to speak of what cannot be adequately uttered. For we shall see him as he is, and beyond all that we can ever imagine, so will be our lives with him. Now able at last to bear and bask in the very love and glory of God Almighty. Time will be no more. All pain, sorrow, and all our trials will seem so small when we see him. Yes, as Dennis says as he closes our broadcast, it is yet to be seen what God has prepared for those who love him. O Lord, enable us always to trust, to believe in you, and not be troubled, for you are able. You will see your word fulfilled even for us, and you will come for each of us, that we might be with you forever, basking in the very presence of the Lord God Almighty, all that your name might be praised forever. Amen and amen.
There is a place for us, one that will satisfy our deepest longing and meet our every need. Our Lord has promised that he will come and take us to himself, that we may always be with him. Perhaps this will help you a little more. Write and ask for Dr. Wyatt's study, The Bride of the Lamb. Please do write and ask for your free copy of this surprising study, The Bride of the Lamb. We want to thank all of our wonderful supporters who do remember us in their prayers and thoughts. It is your faithfulness that keeps the Wings of Healing a vibrant and thoughtful ministry. And those of you who have not yet joined the Wings of Healing family, consider the important part that you would be to the Wings of Healing. A simple and gracious gift, large or small, will make it possible for us to share the Word of God across this land and far beyond. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 3422. 224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the web at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. It is the great Christian hope that He has prepared a place for us. To me, it is more than hope, for it is the promise of God, which always ring true. As this from Nancy of Oakland, California, makes this a reality, she writes, "Dr. Wyatt, I always wanted to believe that God answers prayer. And He does. It was clearly an answer to prayer. Not exactly what I thought it would be, but everything is falling together so well. Job, school, and I'm with child, which is such a blessing, so long desired. Thank you so much, Lord. What a great letter. And if you want any aid for your prayers, Dennis will provide our addresses once more. But now Audrey Assad performs How Can I Keep From Singing? And until next week, just keep singing.
My life flows on in endless song. Above earth's lamentation, I hear the sweet, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult, endless strife, I hear the music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? No storm.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and this week Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his book titled The Bride of the Lamb. Here is presented simply and in a unique way just what God has planned for those who do love Him. It is truly beyond our wildest dreams. Do write this week and ask for The Bride of the Lamb It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.